Morning, it's Melissa Chetty, Parliamentary Officer at Rural Development.
Antoinette Reynolds, Office of the Chief Register of Deeds, Department of Rural Development.
Tamle Fafa, Rural Development and Land Reform.
George Sotese, Rural Development and Land Reform.
Bernice McCanny Mansomi, Senior Researcher, Parliamentary Research Unit.
Temba Khosa, Parliamentary Official Languages.
Morning, my name is Bongi Welufunda from the Office of the Chief Statewide Advisor.
Good morning, my name is Yana Boyson, I'm from PNG.
Margot Brunk, I'm a member of the public. Edwin Conroy, ANC Research Unit.
Milile Khaba, Human Settlement.
thank you very much. I think we are very much interested in all of you. You are welcome.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. In particular, the aim of the draft bill is to remove the scheme management provisions from the Personal Rights Act of 1996, and second, to incorporate the scheme management provisions in a new statute that we administered by the Minister of Human Settlement. Thirdly, is to rearrange the scheme management provisions to make them more understandable to the members of the public and the persons and authorities who must implement these provisions. But however, Honorable Members, without changing their funding. The Department of Rural Development and Land Reform is at present responsible for the administration of the Personal Rights Act, Act Number 95 of 1986, which currently deals primarily, Honorable Members, with the survey and administration of sectional plans, the registration of real rights in sectional titles units, and the management and administration of sectional titles units. Therefore, Honorable Members, the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, however, deals primarily with the registration and surveying issues. This primary mandate, Honorable Members, does not necessarily extend to deal with complaints from the public and dealing with the problems arising from the scheme public. Therefore, it is important for us to ensure to say that the issue that deals primarily with complaints from the public and also problems arising in terms of the scheme public, you know, addressed by the relevant and department. However, it is also important, Honorable Members, seeing that this particular bill has attempted to do by removing the governing provisions and administrative provisions of the administration of the sectional titles from the particular piece of legislation, which is admitted by other departments. Therefore, consultation in this regard is an interpretation. Therefore, Honorable Members, it's important if you know, to report in you today that the consultation between the two departments has been going on, you know, for some time. The Department of Rural Development and Land Reform and the Department of Human Settlement established the technical task team during the 2007. The purpose of the task team, Honorable Members, was established in order to ensure the cooperation and consultation between the two departments during the passing process of the Sectional Titles Schemes Management Bill of 2010, which will be now responsible for the administration of the government and administrative issues taken on the Sectional Titles. Furthermore, consultation between the two departments has been ongoing during the drafting process of this particular two bills. And Honorable Members, I can simply report to say that when we tabled this particular bill before Cabinet, Cabinet, of course, raised some other issues that are related to this interrelatedness between the two bills of the Sectional Titles Amendment, you know, bill and the Sectional Scheme Management Bill. However, the Cabinet also instructed the two deputy ministers to consult and also, you know, to deal with, you know, some of the other issues that can be, you know, an overlapping issue between the two bills. Because at this point in time, the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, they are also currently, let me say, you know, amending the Sectional Titles Act. As a result, Cabinet has raised the issue to say that there might be some other issues, of course, if you know that might be overlapping between the two. However, I can simply report to say that the two deputy ministers, you know, Honorable Dr. Frederick and Dr. Parker, they met around in May, where the two task teams, the task team between, you know, the two departments, which consists of the officials from our department, Department of Land Reform, you know, bring the two deputy ministers in respect of the two bills. But however, the issues that were clarified, the interrelatedness of the two bills that were, you know, discussed, but however, it was agreed. And also a letter, Honorable Members, I'm sitting here with a letter which is signed by the Deputy Minister of Rural Development, Dr. Joe Parker, where he indicated very clearly to say that despite the interventions of this particular two bills, but however, you know, the two bills can be processed, you know, separately, you know, through the consultation process. And further, it indicates further that the technical task team deemed it necessary to record the outcome of the, you know, interaction for the purpose of addressing concerns raised with the relevant bills and to facilitate further processing of the respective bill. That is the message from the Deputy Minister, Honorable Dr. Dupac. Therefore, Honorable Members, the two bills were placed in the public domain during 2009 and were subsequently published in the Government Gazette for public comment. The two departments participated in the public domain you know, in a public comment and public consultation process. The Arab side, although we were to deal with the effect of the draft bill on the Sectional Titles of 1986. The Sectional Titles Act of 1986, honorable members, will therefore retain all the provisions regulating the survey and registration aspect of Sectional Titles, and will continue to be operating and be administered under the department, under the Minister of Rural Development and Land Reform. Honorable members, once the Sectional Titles Scheme Management Bill 2010 has been promulgated, the Sectional Titles Act will therefore remain and deal solely with registration and surveying issues. Meaning that at the end of the day, the end of that, the Sectional Titles Act will solely remain with registration and surveying issues. Therefore, what we're attempting to do, the Sectional Titles Scheme Management Bill will of course interfere with the administrative and planning provisions of the Sectional Titles. This deals with the, you know, the complaints of body corporation, of body corporation, and all the other issues that relate to administrative issues of the Sectional Titles. And also the issues that relate to the complaints surrounding the Sectional Titles. So the Sectional Titles Act, as amended, you know, has been amended today, will remain and retain the survey and the registration aspect of the Sectional Titles. And now remember, the bill is divided, you know, into 21 clauses. The amendment of the Sectional Titles Act, also, you know, also set up in the schedule of the bill. As you all know that, for example, that there are many levels that are still affecting. He says that when we are removing, when in the process of removing the government and a competitive provision of the Sectional Titles, from that particular act, we also amend the bill as well. Another member, it's also important it was to inform you that the bill was also certified by the Office of the Chief Fiscal Advisor, and therefore the bill, you know, I can safely say that the bill is consistent with the Constitution, and it's also not inconsistent with any other law of the Republic. Clause 1 and 8 of the bill deals, another member, Clause 1 and 8 of the bill, honorable members, deals with the definition. It also deals with the establishment, membership, name, capacities, and first meetings of the body corporate. It further deals with the functions of the body corporate, honorable members. It further deals with the functions and powers of the body corporate. It further deals with the additional powers of the body corporate. It also deals with the trustees of the body corporate. It also deals with the fiduciary position of trustees and proceedings on behalf, you know, of body corporate. Although remember, clause 9 to 10 of the bill cover the body corporate rules applicable to body corporate and sectional owners. It further deals with the effect of the quotas and the variations thereof. Clause 9 to 16 of the bill, honorable members, regulate the various legal transactions with regard to the common property and units, such as the alienation and letting of common property, expropriation of common property, exercise of the right of extension, and extension of the common property. Clause 11 to 16, honorable members, of the bill details the duties of the owners. It also covers the insurance by the owner. It also provides for the recovery of from owners of unsatisfied government debt against body corporate and non-liability of body corporate for debt and obligations of the government. Another member, clause 11 to 16 also the bill deals with the appointment of administrators and also further deals with the destruction of or damage, you know, to buildings. Honorable Chair, you know, clause 17-21 of the bill deals with data of a matter of matter, meaning that matters which primarily include the establishment of the Sectional Titles Scheme Management Advisory Council to advise the minister. Clause 17-21 of the bill also deals with the appointment of the members of the Advisory Council and the procedure of appointment thereof. Clause 17 to 21 of the members of the bill also includes the making of the, you know, making of the regulation. It also covers the transitional arrangement and the short title and the commencement of the bill. Also in the bill, honorable members, the amendment of the section attached to it also set out in a schedule that is attached to the bill. The reason for that, honorable members, I think it is important for us to emphasize this particular point. To show that we summarize this particular piece of the legislation, what is the cost to achieve. It's very simple. It's the cost that we say no to ensure that it removes the government administrative provision of the section attached from the section attached structure administered by the President of the Development in 94. And that particular provision, we are removing them, we are not amending them, we are removing them as we are into the new piece of legislation. And therefore, that particular piece of legislation is therefore the administered by the President. Because at this point in time, we have already alluded to the fact that it is not again the primary anything of mandate of the Department to deal with all the problems or all the public queries that arise from the section attached. Their core mandate will only be centered on our members on the survey and administration aspect of the section attached. But however, within the section attached, what we are intending to do, when we are removing those government provisions and administrative provisions, we'll ensure to the fact that because all the complaints that are related to are given, you know, in our attention and are dealt with in appropriate, you know, by the body that is there. That is why hence the other bill that is going to be introduced, is going to be the section attached to commerce, which is going to deal primarily the dispute that arose out of the section attached. Where you have the dispute between the owners themselves and between the owners and the body corporate and so on. So as the act is, you know, set up today, you find that the government and the central provisions are fitting the department, you know, the department of land reform and development, and therefore they are not actually, you know, being dealt with, because in the particular act, you find that even, you know, the issue that is related to the dispute are not actually appropriately, you know, being dealt with. So what we are attempting to do is, you know, remember, we are responding, let me say, to the growth of the poor out there who find themselves frustrated within the sexual health environment. Without any recourse, the health sectors are expected to, you know, to follow the integration process, which is cost, you know, which is cost, you know, to their needs. Hence I'm saying that it is quite important for us to ensure and to bear in mind that what we are attempting to do in the way is that to move the condition into the new act and to ensure that we can do that. First, in case you must be made up, and that is the department that is present, that will respond to the complaints and also not to the issues that respond to the issues that matter within the sector of the environment. And that's all. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I think I'm getting the idea that there's no change in what this new bill is bringing to us, and I think a weakness in the old one was that there was no facility that there was the topic of. Now, I think I just have one question that I would like to offer. These two bills were placed in the public domain during 2009, and there must have been some feedback from that, and I think I would like to be able to see that, whatever that feedback was.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, I would echo that request that we just end the communication with the public. I just want to question one thing, though. And my colleague has asked a question, and I want confirmation. Are you saying that you've taken up exactly this portion of the Index Act and you've created a new Act without any amendments, without even anything to it? Now, if you're confirming that is what you're doing, then I just want to question that we often find that, you know, after a piece of legislation has been promulgated and implemented, then some shortcomings come to light. And surely with over the years, with the sort of questions and queries that have been coming in, are you telling us that there's nothing that we can fine-tune in the old one? Because we now have the opportunity to do that. We don't necessarily have to take it in its entirety as it is, unless of course you're telling me that there's absolutely no problem with it. So that is the first question. high, public community high, closure that is completely new. So really it revolves around that. Is there nothing that we've changed? Is there nothing that we believe we should change? Particularly where we come from the public in terms of actually implementing this piece of legislation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. When I look at the community structure, I want to say it's the one that's going to us. I'm calling it my side for 25. Let me say the Department of Life, the original building is going, and the Department of Human Services, but there are no such departments.
Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, I must apologize for coming late. Chairperson, I think the main issues have been discussed, but I think what is absolutely important and imperative, in order for us to deliberate on an informed view, the 2009 report, the paramount report of the consultative group. The other issue I'm concerned about is, I think Honorable Payne has touched on it, is that one piece of legislation that triggers an impact on the other. And in this instance, you've touched on the issue of the ombudsman, which is going to be introduced. Now, what impact would the sectional title management bill have in terms of triggering that bill? Because I can see that you're speaking about the dispute between the various parties, and then you're speaking about the administration and the body of why are you talking about the people? In one aspect, you would speak about how to, and then in the next vein, you would speak about the legislative process. Now, what legal bound do parties have in pursuing in terms of this bill? Currently, we have a mammoth task in dealing with this. I don't want to deliberate in detail, but some of the concerns will be about you had previously consultants who visited people who had the impact on the sectional title. Immense work has been delivered in order to deliver them to be a well-operating body. What are the challenges you found in terms of that, and what are you going to be changing currently that will deal with these things? For the record, we are still experiencing tremendous challenges in transferring these technical capacities. Now, introducing this new legislation that you're speaking about will hasten the process, will speak to the problem of those people that have the have been living for the past 16 to 17 years in Sikma Thakur? Will these Sikma Thakur be introduced? Will we be seeing the speed of legislation more proactive in dealing with the transfer of the Sikma Thakur? That's what we want to see. All is very good in legislation, and we see it to serve you in payback. Or is it going to be speaking to the problem that the people are out there so that we can address the issue of the Sikma Thakur? Finally, Chairperson, the technical title that we refer to now in terms of management, I am concerned about this because I recently read in the media, I don't know, I think it could be correct, that the body corporate, the security guards, and all these kinds of people that are involved simply want to serve as a stumbling block for an integrated society. Now, this part of your legislation, is it going to be dealt with in terms of legal perspective or the housekeeping rules? Because this one case was tested in court, and the body corporate had to pay all the legal costs, etc., because it prevented one owner from gaining access into the other. So I want to know, will this legislation talk to all these problems? Thank you, Tessie.
Well, thank you very much. I was listening to this. I was very confused. The proposal that we're dealing with the possibility in the terms of the system. Because it means we are not going to. We are expected to accept the decision that will be very receiving analysis. Well, we are not again. But now, if we are going to accept this decision, we are not going to use this in allocation. And they come up with issues that we would foresee that we would require chairman and parliament. I'm not sure, but maybe the parliamentary process, but I'm not sure. Maybe somebody on the and hope that the parliamentary is okay with the case because they have to comply. But at the same time, I've observed that there is an appointment of members of the outside of the council. What is going to, I mean, were there no such structure within the Department of Agriculture or the Vice President, if you can call it to be? So, why are those structures, what is going to happen? Are they going to be involved? What is going to happen to them? And you are referring to the development of regulation. Really, I still need some clarity on that one, but I can see the head of the paragraph. Before we respond,
maybe I'm worse than you on this matter. And then, I think, of course, if we move from this feeling that we are there, not making us an effort, we just put the headboard for one direction. And I guess we can change the way we want to change. Even the fact that we are the director of the community when we do our oversight function. Some of the matters that are raised by the proposed being, of course, there's a period, I think, in 1986. And then, I think a lot of change that has happened in our country recently. And I just guess that ourselves as members of parliament, I think we will need more time on our side just to really feel and understand the necessity. But also bearing in mind the point that I think we raised in one of the and then also proceeding the rules of parliament, I think we have to work on it. What I don't understand now, the some section of the Act of 1983 is shifted to human settlement, but some elements remain with the rural development. I just get that there's a bigger problem. There are two sections, one, two, and in general, I think therefore we need to come contact with other things. You see, there's nothing that's sharing the process of another point that we need to do for a certain reason. In order for us to be passing in the column, therefore, you must get what is the other opinion of a community. Is one X or is one X at the moment of the reason that they have to find the law? And then it's going to administer by two to admit. So the bigger problem in my view that we have come across is the whole question of surveillance. And then that is much more delay in terms of human settlement. But it seems that we propose the inflationary taxes that must remain with the rural development project. And then we take our aspect of it. And then where I think that we will need to research it as a team. And then I do think that some of the sources, in my view, we have to really look at them and also compare what is the new development in terms of what they're trying to do. And also general problem about sectional tightness. Because it's one of the most misunderstood areas generally. And therefore, I think that is very important. I think the request for information from your participation or other processes. I just get that the public participation that we are engaged on does not necessarily deny the committee of engaging all public participation. Because I think it's important that the fundamental force that what they greatly does have been that the legislative background and that is therefore we do have our own way of doing things and we may change each and every way here first. And then I guess that's what really should be hanging in front of the meeting. And consolidation process between two departments, I think it's something that we have to really explain to the meeting. And then it would be much more difficult the way I see it now. And then I guess that there would be able to deal with the management of the proposal, the team, the policy proposal. On how we work on this one based on our rules, but also an understanding really of our own system. I always move from assuming that drafting on any law should be informed by the health system, real problem on it, as of that, I know as a parallel. I was telling that they created as their first ministry, I didn't create a law first law ministry. They are policymakers, we are lawmakers ourselves, not the first of our own. And then I guess they share that we need our own process. Or therefore, that's what I wanted to propose to deal with this one, given the fact that it's the most complex thing that this typing is, traditional typing thing, much more difficult. I don't even understand myself, and this phrase is taking me through. Therefore, I think it's important that we do share. That would be my proposal on this one.
Let me give you an opportunity to what Patel is going to do for the next question.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I wanted to be fit, and to be sure that you can have my statement. But I'd like to have to start with some of the final things. I will come back to those ones just a little bit. The fundamental motivation for this entire exercise is to make sexual cycles a more useful, more practical and more inclusive form of partnership. It has in the past become a reputation of being very complex, being very hard to understand. Whether you're talking about the survey, whether you're talking about the registration, there are complexities in section of partnership. And many of those complexities are tied up in the technical department of rural development and land reform in the office of the chief registrar deals with a range of highly technical things which it would be probably impossible to expect ordinary members of the public to understand on an ordinary basis. These are the things saying that the legal responsibility of the bank is kind of being sort of exempted. The bank doesn't deal with it. So the Greece Registry Act does this for ordinary banks, and the Sectional Titles Act does this for sectional titles. As with what the case in the Hospital Comparative from the Power Law, dealt not only with all those complexities, all those technical professional things that had to be done in perception and implementation of professional but it also dealt and still does, and we're about to change that, deals with the actual operation of the sectional cycle. Now, if you think of the way in which a sectional cycle operates, it's conceived, capitalists, bankers, all that sort of get together, they get together with their technicians, the lawyers, the land surveyors, officers, the self-handlers, all those people, highly qualified people who are involved in the property development process. And they subdivide a building into this thing and create the complexities of our sectional cycle. And all the experts understand that complexity. Who lives and land reform, or development by the Department of Housing, whoever's looking after it, they can be looking at it regularly. There's no genius who can come along and tell you a solution, because next year it's not going to be enough. Situations change. So you aren't having any changes. Yes, there were changes, because there's been a process of change, and the changes were most recently, as a result of 2001 public participation process, there were changes, and then, in fact, the whole thing went to the chief state law advisor, who made some very intelligent and revealing that we sound patronizing. We thought that she did a great job, and that it's a better sort of hardware. But, you know, you say, are there any problems? Of course there are problems. Are there, you know, if you get 10 Section 5 lawyers or 10 Section 5 owners in a row, they'll all argue about what should be exactly the right thing. But fundamentally, the government, whether it's under one department or the other, is monitoring and will continue with a process of taking public input, considering the stakeholders' involvement, and changing. Is it perfect today? A number of things that the two of you spoke of, which are problems, are problems that actually have nothing to do with school management. They are problems to do with deeds registry things, or so anything to do with deeds registration process or land survey are not in what you're considering today. This is not designed to cure any problems that may be there. That could be something that you would talk to them about. But there are problems in every system. This, however, is a system that exists to serve the public. It's what it's there for, right? So that are designed to assist and guide and control developers and land surveyors and all those other people. That stays in Section 5. So this, the people who live in it, whether they're tenants or owners, or they manage it, that bit is what is going to be in this act that you're looking at today. So what you're seeing is us taking the bits and pieces from all over this thing, rejigging them so that according to a logical project, beginning, middle, end, the whole story, the whole life cycle of the management. And this is all about governance. I'm sorry, I'm going to try and go back to the question and build them as you are. Is there any advantage to moving this from one department to another? The fact of the matter is, this department, the whole deeds registry, is about survey registration, it's about law, the application of measuring law and property law, and how that works. Will there be an advantage? Yes, there will. Because you're moving it to a department, its fundamental mandate is to provide housing to the people, and therefore to take this instrument, which although it is sometimes used for commercial purposes, fundamentally an instrument for delivery of housing, is our second cycle. Conventional is our sectional cycle. I don't want to use metric, but that's really what it's about. But and it's going to become bigger and bigger. It's going to be a greater and greater percentage. So that it should be in the Department of Housing is hugely important. Because they are the people, South Africa does have a bit of a housing problem. This is part of the solution. Is sectional housing going to fix the problem? Is it going to work? Is it going to work better? Of course it is. Once you look at the communities in combat service, in conjunction with its workers, you will understand how these things work together. For one, it's going to put it in a place where it can be understood as a, this is speaking up sectional housing. And I don't want to get too much into the piece of the book for the moment, but I just mentioned that it will deal with a lot of the internal, you know, your problems of huge amounts of money, court, and all this sort of nonsense. And more often, people are simply don't get anything. They have no access to justice because it is not possible to get a magistrate in the jurisdiction and even with the money to go to the High Court. That CSOS is designed to give people access to justice in that situation. And it has been, we'll see when we take the curative, and we'll end this morning, that one of its primary things is to educate people. It's not only there to sort out, it is there primarily, let me rephrase that, it's there primarily to resolve disputes, but it has ancillary functions that are intended to avoid disputes. So you try and educate the people so they don't fall into the, stop the fight before it stops. That's the idea. Is there going to be an advantage? Yes, there will be an enormous advantage. Because a department that has done this and done it as well as they possibly can, the department designed to do it, are not going to be doing it anymore, and a department that wants to do it and is designed to do it, is going to do it. Does that make sense? Okay. Who participated? When we started this thing right at the beginning, we had an initial mandate began. So right in 2005, there was an initial consultation, which was a public consultation, focusing on the COVID show, and an enormous amount of data was and input was taken in. In fact, in 2006, there was a conference in Seminole, which was a little less increase to the undertaking. But the first one, obviously, is necessitated with your board. But so we have got a lot of professional support to all of the countries to their conference and that sort of thing. We've got that sort of support. And quite a lot of value that has been relevant to the the government departments have both had input. They haven't always agreed on everything, but the fact of the matter is they've both looked at this thing very, very thoroughly. And then in 2009, there was again a second round of live public consultation on the bill of the day. So I think there's been incredible amount of consultation. It's a very wide one. What would be the interaction between the Federal Government Scheme Management Act and the people under it? Let me just try and explain that a little bit. The Federal Government Scheme Management Act is only about sectional markets. Sectional markets are not the only form of cluster or group housing that we have in Scotland. We also have shared lots. We also have homeowners associations, increasing the property which is delivered in the centre of conventional is part of a homeowners association, so you are tied in to a form of community. And so the community scheme on the service act would deal with retirement, villages, it covers a whole wider range, whereas the sectional market scheme management was designed to deal with the problem of sectional market. The community scheme on the service is designed to take people who live together, who share property, who share the rights to property, who share financial responsibility, and to give them a system, to give them a series of routines where when you take a geography to a system, that's how, they don't work together like that. They work together more like that, in that there will also be other things that go in there. The homeowners will go in there, this is one of the costs, so the special market is one of the costs that will work on the on community scheme on the services here. I don't know if that's the analogy makes any sense. Okay. Can I just finish me, or should I stop now? Okay. What's going to happen to these five management rules? Well, certainly one minor thing. If it approved, it doesn't work. I think that was the decision made in 2004. And the whole thing is about that sort of change. Maybe cost our job, what would be the impact of our job with that? Are you expected to accept the legislation without changing it? No. We're saying the legislation is not perfect, but it comes to us even very recently amended by another department in the ongoing process. You will never fix this. You will never get it there. You could, if you wanted, go and do public consultation. What should be cured? What should be changed? You know, like the management rules, you have a dozen people arguing from different points of view. And it's an ongoing process. Those arguments will be heard. I think it's important to understand that you will never get the sort of thing to be considered. You will always keep working on it. Why is there a need for regulation? Because the management and conduct rules, the unfulfilled house rules, management and conduct rules that apply to every sectional title scheme are the product of regulation currently made under the sectional title scheme, but which will be made under the sectional title scheme. You have to have regulation. Do you need some form of infrastructure to do that? Yes. Will the sectional title regulation board cease to exist and be run up? Not at all. They will continue to be of development. All the people still in our view create these things. This, what I'm talking about today, is our view. It's a different piece of people, it's a group of people, it's a group of consumers in terms of rental and ownership.
Mr. Patrick, there are not anyone who is affecting. We all agree with your people. But the argument remains. If this bill is brought before the portfolio committee through the parliamentary process, We are the legislators. We cannot just accept anything that has been prepared by the cabinet or the officials or technical management, and then we accept it and then we rubber stamp it. We have to look at it as the legislators, and we have the right to amend if we do. But it cannot come from the side of the officials to say this bill is not brought before us, and then there are no changes that are expected. We all agree to your presentation or information that you are giving to us. But as the legislator, we are going to, if it has come for the parliamentary process, we can't bring a legislation to parliament and we expect that we are the rubber stamper. I'm not going to do that. Must see it before you can go there. So I think after that we can request the world government to have an input, because we cannot expect people to come here and not be able to treat us. We must have a thing, because this is a meeting. So we have to share
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I think it is quite important, you know, to issue that your question, Honorable Chair, that once the bill is tabled before you, then you've got a right as well, you know, as members, you know, to either you know, agree or disagree or change our amendment. I think it would be the reason that you know, honorable members, you know, to think that one of the bill has been tabled before you. I think everyone is very clear, Honorable Chair, and our members, you know, are aware of. I think it is quite important, you know, to note for the other member that it is true that the two bills are fighting, you know, based on, you know, the first part of the commission and the night, to see, you know, his response from the House of the public, and of course, you know, to make available, you know, all, you know, the public comments, you know, that we see, and also, you know, to take the summary there, you know, to start this public. The 24 hours is the second member to be involved in the program, so that it doesn't do any, you know, involved in any, I think it is quite important to remember. I think on double chair, from our side, you know, I think it's very clear that we, you know, of course, we can make available, you know, what's up with comments. I think we need a very good summary. Also, we do also need to be available to us from that number. You know, if we engage, you know, your own processes, if you so wish, to ensure that we can be able to use the information.
Thanks, Chair. As Graham already explained, we were part of the whole process. Actually, let me hasten to say that we are the part of the team of midwives that brought this legislation into this world. We have a little housekeeping issue that we have to sort out with Kwesi Graham and Professor Van der Merwe and Mr. Malula Gada. Is that not true, Graham? I think we can deal with those offline. Let us not confuse the process further. But I respect...
if I may ask, was the portfolio committee on
the world
about this
process? No. But the minister is fully aware, as well as the deputy minister, like Kwesi alluded to earlier in his opening statement. Actually, what is happening, ma'am, is we started the whole process of separating consumer issues from registration issues, and we started off with Grab, and after some time we disowned him and transferred him to Human Settlement. So he's been at it for quite a long time. What we're doing, Madam Chair, is that we are separating consumer issues from registration issues. that's all that we're doing, and that was the mandate that Graham had in the beginning. But like I say, we have some domestic issues that we have to sort out. They are not serious. Maybe with the there was a gap somewhere because I haven't seen Kwesi for many years, as well as Graham. So they thought they could do certain things, you know, without consulting. But like I say, it's not serious. It's a good piece of legislation. Sectional title is the route to go in order to resolve the housing problems of this country. And even when you benchmark it internationally, it's the route to go. All you have to do is just to keep on refining it and refining it and refining it and refining it. So they've got our support, and the other issues we'll deal with outside of this environment.
Like when I comment to the information that, you know, the two bills are complementing each other. So some of the comments that we put here will relate to the committee on the steps, like the public participation process, because we were running those processes with these two bills together. So the public participation process is running together in terms of the two bills. Just to remind honorable members, our vision is of the Department of Human Settlement. It's a nation house within sustainable human settlement with access to the necessary socio-economic infrastructure. And going to the mission, our mission still remains to establish a facilitation process that is sustainable and that provides access to affordable housing within the context of sustainable human settlement and economic opportunities for all. The two legislation we are presenting today are aimed at responding to the vision and mission of the White House. Just to give members some historical background in terms of the popularly known as the ombudsman. You know, this is an ombudsman for the community team. It doesn't differ from other similar on those shelters that we know in South Africa, like your public protector, like the insurance ombudsman and the financial ombudsman. So historically, it originates from Sweden in its modern form. There was a Swedish king, Charles the Twelfth, who went to self-exile in Sweden and learned about the concept of quasi-umpasa, which is judges of the judges, which was developed in the Islamic law. And after returning from exile to Sweden, he created the office of the Supreme Ombudsman to make government administrators more accountable. And it was in 1809 that an ombudsperson was established in the Swedish constitution, linked to parliament and not the authorities to protect the rights of the people. And the term ombudsman means a representative of the people. In terms of the philosophical understanding, what we want to see in terms of the community skills ombuds service is that we want to establish a simple and inexpensive system for the users of the service. And also we want to ensure that it is independent and it can resolve issues fairly and impartially. And the fact that it can promote uniformity and consistency in handling disputes. And the fact that it can remedy for the protection of the rights of the administration for the use of the service. Just by way of background, why we are establishing the community scheme of the service. There is an ever-increasing proportion of housing which is being developed in the form of community schemes, in which there is governance by the community involved, shared financial responsibility and land and all facilities used in common. And community schemes include sectional title schemes, like if you say in terms of the administration of sectional title schemes, management and there are other forms of community schemes like your share block companies that from other spoken about and home owners associations and housing schemes for retired persons. So the community schemes ombuds service is aimed at resolving disputes within this community. Still on that count, because they involve some control and administration of finances, facilities, and behavior, community schemes give rise to problems and disputes among participants, which requires effective resolution. And currently, there is no effective and affordable dispute resolution mechanism available to parties involved in community schemes. Prof has already spoken about Rule 71, which makes provision for administration, which is costly and less effective. So the bill will establish the community scheme ombuds service to address this dire need. Still on that count, the bill will establish the community scheme of the service as a national public entity in terms of the CSLA, with executive authority vested in the Minister of Human Services. And it will provide a framework for the avoidance and resolution of issues in community schemes. Like Prof has already stated that, you know, one of the fundamental objectives of the bill is to provide education and information to users of the service. And the custody of community schemes governance documentation determined by the Minister of Human Services. Let us briefly look at the content of the bill for this issue. It deals with the establishment of the service, like I already indicated. And also it deals with the mandate and the functions related to establishment of a dispute resolution mechanism and the provisioning of education and awareness to the users and the custody of government documentation. It also provides for the establishment of a governing board consisting of executives and management. It also deals with the appointment of the CEO, who is called the chief ombudsman, and the chief financial officer, and also relates to the funding of the mechanism for the group. Still on the content, the bill details out the procedure and scope of application for the late September when people are looking to complaints of and also regulates investigation of issues arising from applications for the list and the right of parties to representation. Still on the content, it also details out the orders that a dispute may make in resolving community disputes, although the list is not ended for the process. And also details the right of parties to appeal against orders delivered by the president. Still on the content, the bill also deals with public access to information in regards to the order that shall be delivered. And it also, you know, the bill, we believe that after it has been established, of course the department will provide a proper cost. And thereafter, the different personal titles and community schemes will be liable to pay levy to the scheme, and the scheme in the long run will become self-sufficient from the levy payable. And I won't be able to tell you how much will the levy be, because there will be regulations that will determine the amount of levy that will be paid.
Thank you, Chairperson. Obviously, until such time that we actually go through the whole board by court, there's not much we can ask in terms of whether it's right or wrong. So I'm just going to ask some general questions. One of the things that you need to get right is the independence of the so we're going to need to give that some thought, and presumably that person will be appointed by the minister. Again, without preempting what's in the role, there's going to have to be a focus where other people are involved in that as well. Otherwise, the whole thing is not being then, and I'm not sure if I'm correct here, but I saw a CEO and then a chief ombudsperson. I'm just wondering, just off the top of my head, and thinking about others, I'm not sure if there's a CEO necessary. Because, and particularly my last point, levels, you know, if you're looking at taking an additional burden on the ordinary homeowner at this point in time, which is that's not the right thing to do. The more you put off this particular office for unnecessary people like a CEO, obviously the higher the levels are going to be. So you can actually keep it lean and firm, doing its work, and we're going to have to learn from the other institutions that are going on this one. Whether they do have a CEO, things like that. So, Chair, like I say, one obviously needs to resolve a lot more questions on where these things are going to go. I do think, however, it is a good initiative. It's something that we need. Any skeptical of our things to work outside of the professional cycle and the other merchant programs. I mean, if you talk about homeowners, I belong to a what we call a rate-paying association. but it's a voluntary thing. You may find 60% of the homeowners in that community supported. And when it came to come against the things like levies, therefore, need to pay for something, and 60% supported and the other 40% doesn't, you know, it's just going to create all sorts of problems. So, at least I reserve the opportunity to ask you to look at it in detail at some point.
Yes, I'm pretty much covered by that. I think that my understanding now the process will be that we will interrogate the board of and if we do require to see the public able to be able to do that, I would be happy. But that will be our process. Can I just pick up on one thing that wasn't mentioned? And that is the startup that the advocate mentioned, which would often be to look around, and particularly that we are expecting that the people on the ground who may not understand the rules of the
before I forgot one thing that I wanted to raise before we got here, anyway, the question of managing agencies and such. I do think that consciousness of the issue how we do that, because we should be close to the bottom. I'm not sure, but I think we discussed this one to make sure. Because it seems that this is too many agents. And then all these agencies, they will need money for them. Operational costs, whatever, in terms of the traffic, problems. And some of them are very big, but the incentive is actually very nice. And I know this one is very important for the independent work, the quality of the work. And then I think it's very important to do it in a very inexpensive way. It should be a very simple exercise. Hopefully, share that once you see it cost by cost, this all of money is not just going to be national and then all of that. Most people won't go to farm to raise their problem, they'll go to local authorities, they'll go to their own community to raise this issue. If their office really, that's what I'm thinking about. I'm not sure they're not going to be too expensive, of course, I don't know if they're lazy to sustain themselves. But just bear in mind that the 9 provinces, surely even at a provincial level, would never be accessible to the authorities who are having problems or anything about the whole issue. And I think to the issue that I think in the present really the trust I think we really have to consider. How do we find others in the community? And then all the community schemes. Well, some of the community schemes anyway, they have collapsed. And then it seems also we want to ensure that we protect them and the segment type of schemes to us. And then the all issue of all ownership and association. And then some of these matters, I think, are going to be wonderful. Wonderful thing to say. And of the voluntary association that are sort of making the activities of our community. And I do think that is an issue that really has been seen the main thing. Maybe that will assist us just to see. Of course, I think there would be an issue for me that I think maybe it would be very
Comrade Richard had mentioned
certain purposes, important points, and consideration must be taken. We must not look at managing aging to be a lucrative business for a particular society. Now, having said that, in view of the introduction of the verb, I want to know what is the legal perspective of the current operation of these agents that perhaps might be outdated and not keeping in line with what you are trying to propose. I want to know what the legal perspective is. Now, here's some of the problems that I have on the ground at the moment in terms of, if you look at, I think Honorable Chen has talked about in terms of the 60% of leaders and 40%. Now, I want to elaborate on one particular issue that is currently a nightmare in Ikegwen. You find that these managing agents are now in the process of selling people out. I think one of the presenters made a statement earlier that there must be consistency and opportunities, and we must deliver home. Now, this is quite in contradiction. Let's take one scenario. You have sectional titles. As Honorable Stein had made mention, you have 50% of willing people to it, who have their title. Then you have another section that are waiting for their title. And in terms of the current process, the operating municipality has become the, what you call it, I don't know whether it's an agent or who controls the other 40% what under the same as trying to put forward. Now, the problem is that why is the balance of the 40% is waiting for the happening? Who is responsible for the lead? Because what is happening currently is that managing agents are selling properties out. Who listens to these kind of problems and resolve these kind of things? So what I'm concerned about is while a piece of legislation might be speaking to the problem to deliver a better system for the future, we've got to bring on board the current problem, and it has to be addressed. Thank you, sir.
That's to add that the department, you are failing to address those issues. You are failing to address those consumers whose properties have been sold by the people. That's why I thought we wanted to go to the land of the day when it was about the property. The Department of Consumer Settlement is liable for the challenge that has been the property in housing and in Northwest. Their houses have sold unicorns. We are still creating other agents that are going to cause more challenges. We are not sure whether they are going to cause them or they are going to address them. We have been here and we have been here. We have never came after the report that reports the challenges that are faced by the poor people who are only those properties that have been sold. And of course, that's a comment.
Thank you. I'm going to ask Prof to speak about some of the questions that they have been said in terms of the CDC. But most of the people are armed and not just.
fundamental distinction between mandatory, obligatory membership of a homeowners association if you buy a property of the corpus if you own a professional of the share of our company if you wanted to contract with them and buy shares. That is what this is dealing with in the situation. This is not about rate and association. It's not about PID or any other form of voluntary. Throughout South Africa, controls in Gauteng is also by an act, where you take by ordinance, there is a possibility that people can aggregate together, that they can create an organization, and they can then contribute sometimes voluntarily, sometimes as ordinance is not voluntarily, because they're equipped to present their people. To supplement the local council ability to clean and stuff that's not what we do. This thing, and when we go through, we'll see that the definition of interest is imposed in my sense. So it depends on the chair for any, not just those types of ownership. I'm not asking the very inventive, we invent new types of ownership as a drop in the hat. So the interest that essentially has shared use and responsibility for parts of land and buildings and financial interdependence will fall into this. The things that were on that topic that I showed you a little bit earlier on are retirement development, shared block, sectional title, homeowners association, and the like. Arguably cooperative, anything where you share this is not something that seeks to deal with great value associations or PID, it is where you have to be a member because if you're part of a land and building development which involves that. The question of cost can we wait until we go to that? You will see that there is a multifaceted funding model which nobody knows how the thing will work. But I think when you look at that, you will begin to understand where we see the potential income and how it may operate. And how also the cost may be adjusted in terms of social policy determined by the government of cost. That I think will be unfair. Managing agencies, and they should become very inclusive. I'm just going to skip across that. I'm going to give you, this is a big thing. I'm going to give you a very quick, I'm going to talk across that one on the point of the check. The situation of managing agencies, sectional titles in the scope of South African law is relatively new. It's only 40 years old. It can take a long time to adapt that. The managing agency first became a reality of on the back of sectional title development. There were people cashing people sold owners' money. The result of that was that the medical and trade industry that if you collected levies either from sectional parties for a sectional party or for a share block, you only mentioned those two, you were automatically in state action. And you did that because you wanted to offer the protection of the estate agency affairs fidelity fund to the consumers who were having their money stolen. That rather temporary band-aid on a problem has remained. It doesn't make any sense. The managing agent can't act with it. The estate agency affairs board can't tell you which managing agent, and which is paid. So you want to be a state agent before you can collect it. That is a whole difficult thing. In fact, the estate agent, the chairman of the National Association of the Estate Agents, Keros Yusta, made a personal plea in the course of our drafting that we should, in fact, have the community school onboard to take over the control. They said, yes, but to get somebody to look after them and to understand what they do, that they ask that they be taken over. Our instructions are that is not the primary service that the structural structure we have. Not as a hit to the managing agent by taking for the possibility of a code of conduct, which could be enforceable, and we'll show you how that works also. But at the moment, it is the Department of State Industry, via the State Agency Affairs Board, which controls the state agents and forces to let them do that function. Either from a sectional title scheme or a share block company, you have to be registered. It's the state agency service as defined in the State Agency Affairs Board. Not all that clever because the type of work that you take is completely different. you will see that there are specific credits to deal with managing agents. Managing agents have to take into account. But if you're talking about those managing agents who buy units in teams they manage, that I'm afraid that there are people who buy into sections and sometimes at 20-50% in a situation where the local authority has to spread the respect down to sectional title onto rental people who actually can't afford to own. And then the thing starts to run, and what happens? You get a situation where people can't afford to own. And the end, after a long process, is that those sectional funding gets sold. And those people get taken to the cleaner. They were hanging into the middle class owning property on their fingernails, and somebody had to put a boot on the top of their hand. That happened. And it happened not because of the whole sectional title. It happened because municipality, anyone who is a who holds rental stock and who converts the rental stock to ownership and releases it to those rental tenants has an obligation to educate them and also to make sure that they don't sell to somebody who can't afford it. Even though the prices are very low, they could only do it. They have to have the income to be able to contribute to the monthly levy. And if they don't, they get they can receive it. So that is an issue, but not it's abusive in the way managing agents deals with a particular scheme. That would be dealt with as a dispute under the community scheme on the service. When it comes to dealing with the problems with local authorities releasing, there's still quite that time for having released any of its stratified rental stock. They're all going to be paying funding. So they see that there are problems. But the Ombuds Service has, as you see, a subsidiary reason for existence to educate and to assist. So could they assist a local authority that's about to do that by way of education and get definitely that's part of the of the existence of the Ombuds Service is to make the system work better. Education is very specifically dealt with. Manager agents, 40% of people, yes. The people waiting for time, none of the actual bills today actually help with that. Those are processes, I don't even think that the chief registrar
I just wanted to say in respect of your comments, the last comment, we will liaise with the office to understand the nature of the problem. Liaise with the kind of life of the life of the life. Thank you, Chair. I think it's also most important to know to respond to some of the questions that have been raised on the future. When I'm talking about the office being centralized, I think it would be more clear if we deal with the deal from the top. Because the deal also, of course, is to deal with that. We also indicated the office in order to be closer to the people that are not going to have only the head office that is being in this way, and then it can also be in this way. But we also have to deal with the office part. We must be able to deal with the deal from the top.
Before the 87 secular, the subsidy that's still running up on this day. And when you're speaking about addressing poverty, and as the honorable minister has said, that we want people to be land owners, homeowners, the programs of government speak. And that is precisely what the enhanced extended convention does. Now when we come into sectional title, we've just touched on the issue about levy and the municipality dumping it on you. I might not agree with that. It's because you have a policy, and currently, Chairperson, the Tigrayan municipality, I'm not in defense of the Tigrayan, but they have a right of policy as a state. So the issue of taking homes away from people is one aspect. Just for the record, they are applying the park off, which is a program of government. The debt is resisted on the sectional title, and the beneficiary cannot dispose of the home until that debt is honored by the municipality. So I think that is a very, very good thing in ensuring people become homeowners. But here, my question has not been answered. The municipality, the beneficiary, pays the rent to the municipality. Municipality is the agent. The managing agent institute legal proceedings to the tenant. While the tenant is not in possession of the title deed, and the local authority collects the rent from that. And as we speak, in that category, people's homes are being sold. I need some clarity.
Let me
just
say,
Thank you.
Are you Bungie? Yeah. You know, I'm sorry I couldn't come to this meeting.
I have upstairs.
Yeah, but thank you very much for, you know, you structured that thing so nicely that we couldn't see it
like that.
And, and you know, and all the transitional things which you put under the rules.
Yeah.
So thank you very much for that.
Yeah.
We just hope it will be all right.
I think so. That's two little things that we need to resolve.
Yeah, but what have we done? When are we going to talk to them?
I don't know. We have to find those to talk to them and see how can we resolve those issues and perhaps bring some amendments to the committee.
Yeah.
Also, I think that that's technical. Nothing major.
Yeah. Okay.
Nothing major. Nice to meet you, Matt.
Yes. No, I don't know. I didn't have to.
No, thank
anyway,
you.
Thank you. Which university were you at?
I was at Potter. Okay. Potter.
Potter.
When was that? Because I was there in 1990.
Okay, nice to meet you.